Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
On today's episode of Sippin' on a 40, we're just having a conversation with Nick Bondi. Look, I was going to do something special for this episode, a.k.a. bring back that Kyle Bowen production, but hey, I'm not smoking weed anymore. I'm feeling less creative, and I still got this damn cold sore on my lip. Where did this come from? How the fuck did I get herpes? I don't know, okay? Again, you're just getting this conversation with Nick Bondi. Enjoy the episode of Sippin' on a 40.
Man, we're going to have a lot of fun tonight in Vancouver, all my real fans.
Yeah, I like the shirt. It's fitting the vibe right now. It's a beautiful day out.
Of course,
just chilling.
Of course, man. And you know what? I got to make the executive decision soon. Do I keep the chest hair or not, man? This is what happens when you don't have a beard. It's like you make these decisions.
Yeah, that's a tough call. I say go. I keep the chest hair. I go au naturel,
right? It's all I got. Unless I try to grow out this beard. I think we should start off with that. Don't you think the city of Vancouver, male or females, right, should treat this like a fucking playoff run? Even though they're probably not going to make it, most likely. Yeah. I mean, come on, they're not making it. But just based on what they're fucking doing, we're talking about the Vancouver Canucks coming off of what? Post everyone getting COVID and now playing hockey. And they're playing gutsy hockey. I think we got to show our support. And, do the things for the boys, right? Grow that beard for the boys.
The home stretch beard.
The home stretch beard.
The playoff push beard.
Playoff
Let's do
push.
It. I'm down.
I wouldn't even call
All right,
it.
All right, I'll grow it out. I'll grow it out.
I'm going to grow it
I'll
out,
grow, You know what? I'll grow out this facial hair until the Canucks are officially eliminated from playoff contention.
I don't fuck with that. I think we grow it till the end of the season because, again, should they even be playing out here? I guess for a fan or for members of the media, we could bring up the narrative or make up the narrative that they shouldn't. But, hey, I talked about this before, man, and it kind of, for me, was on a bit of a roller coaster because of the comments we heard from Pearson and Miller, it kind of sounded like these guys actually didn't want to play anymore. But when you saw what Horvat said during his presser, they want to play hockey. And for these athletes, these professional athletes, right, this is just in their fucking DNA. They got to play.
Yeah,
they want to play.
That's how professional athletes are wired. You said exactly right. You know, that they want to play. They're hyper-competitive. That's how they got to where they are in their lives is being, you know, alpha competitors, so to say. And yeah, like it sounded like that. I don't think we've talked about these JT Miller comments until now on your podcast, but I mean, Tanner Pearson, when he came out to the media, he kind of skirted the line, right? He was trying to be diplomatic about the whole situation. He came about as I thought afterwards, I was like, okay, he probably came as close as you can to crossing the line in terms of just absolutely straight up blasting, you know, the NHL and Canucks in the NPA and Canucks management for the whole situation. When Miller comes out, like nothing was left on the table. He said exactly what the players, I think, were thinking at the moment. Right. And it got obviously the change that was needed. And also what it was also really telling about the whole situation is the Canucks promoted his whole interview and promoted some of his quotes on social media. Like they're not doing that unless, you know, there's a lot of people in that organization who feel the same way JT Miller did. So, and you know what I liked also as well over the past few days is these guys coming out and talking about their symptoms. Like if that's an important part of this whole situation as well, is coming out and saying like how they felt. And hopefully, you know, some people take COVID, you know, maybe take a few more extra precautions, or, you know, just it's easy to forget about I think sometimes COVID-19 and the effect it can have on people, because it has been 13, 14 months of this. It's been a whole calendar year at this point, but it's nice to see, you know, guys like Bo Horvat and Travis Green talk about their situation. I was worried at some point a guy like Bo Horvat would just be like, well, it's in the past. I don't really want to talk about it anymore, but he was very candid about his situation.
Yeah.
And it was nice to hear.
No, I loved what Bo Horvat had to say and also what he did on the ice today. And, you know, I had to sign off on Twitter because when Miller said what he said, people immediately compared Horvat to Miller. You know what I'm saying? Because Horvat's the captain. And I was just pissed off. Like, how do people who don't play fucking sports, who don't play professional sports, how do they think they know how leadership works at that fucking level? You know what I'm saying? And Bo Horvat, just because what? He's not as outspoken as JT Miller? Dude, that's not how it fucking works. It was actually annoying to see some people in the Canucks blogosphere question Horvat's leadership just based on Miller saying what he said. It's an absolute disgrace, and it's fucking Canucks Twitter for you, man. That's some baloney, to be honest. Well, that's fucking baloney.
I think, you know, they send Miller out there, not because Miller out there, just because Miller's a better leader or more indicative of the leadership structure inside the Vancouver Canucks. Well, JT Miller's been around here for a year and a half. We know how he operates. He's a straight shooter.
Yeah, he is.
And he's going to tell you how he fucking feels. And that's why, you know, the Vancouver Canucks sent him out there. Like, make no mistake. I think there was a concerted effort by the Vancouver Canucks to get that point out there. And I think JT Miller probably said those points a lot better than Bo Horvat possibly could. But Bo Horvat threw his own shots on Friday. And, you know, I think the biggest part of the whole Bo Horvat press conference was when I believe it was Thomas Drantz of The Athletic asked about what support you got from ownership and management during the whole COVID outbreak. And he pretty much skirted that whole question. He said he didn't say anything about ownership or management in his response. He said, we got a lot of he pretty much deflected said, and we got a lot of support from the fans and, you know, other players around the league. That was a very telling moment as well.
Was for the so telling. So, it was so telling.
Different styles of leadership. Different styles of leadership. That's all it is.
Okay, so yes, different styles of leadership. Anyone that is criticizing Bo Horvat just because he's not a straight shooter, whatever the fuck that means, stop watching the game of hockey. You know that guy's a fucking leader, bro. No, real talk. On the ice, bro, that motherfucker is a real motherfucking leader. And look what he did today.
Perfect example tonight.
Exactly. And just based on Horvat's comments, I'm not going to lie, man, that threw me off. Him pretty much ignoring the question altogether, right? Pretty much ignoring the question. And it just had me feeling ill about this organization because the top is so sour. It's beginning to be really sour with Aquilini, and it's kind of been that way with Benning for a while, and it has me discouraged for 2022 because this year on the ice, I'm not thinking they're going to pull a fucking miracle out of here. Real talk. If they do this and somehow make the playoffs being, 8 points behind or 10 points behind with 4 games in hand after everyone getting sick with COVID, that's a fucking miracle. They're making the DVD. Do they even make DVDs anymore? No fucking DVD.
No, they'll make an Amazon Prime series about them.
Exactly,
that's a new trend.
Exactly. It's probably not going to happen. But yeah, no one is allowed to fucking criticize Bo Horvat's leadership. It's just complete bullshit. Straight up. It's, again, had me logging off on Twitter because some of y'all just fucking idiots, not going to lie. And yeah, Aquilini and Benning, I'm telling you, if you're listening to this goddamn podcast, you are ruining things for the people in this city and this organization. Look, I tweeted this out, right? I don't even want to watch the game today because of what the top looks like and what they've done with my perception of this team. Look, if we're talking about the younger generation, right? I'm an old man, right? I'm up there in age, right? I'm an old man, almost 30 years old. I swear to you, man, working in a studio, I also have this one kid who I work with on the 8-4 side of things. Dude, these young chaps, people under the age of 18, they don't give a fuck about the Canucks. They'll watch hockey. They'll cheer for Chicago or another team, you know, whoever they were watching when they were coming up. But, hey, the Canucks are just not a popular team to like. And I think it has to do, again, with the top. And it's a bad thing. We're with Nick Mondi on Sippin' on a 40. Look how negative we are. After, you know, this dope performance.
This will probably go down as the best win of the season.
Yeah, 100%.
This is everything that I had that's happened the past 3 weeks and to come out and to beat the Leafs in overtime. I'm interested to see how this team plays the next few games because they didn't look that bad out there. I was honestly pleasantly surprised by how the Canucks, and I came in with an open mind. I tweeted out at the time, like, don't make fun of their turnover. Don't say anything about the turnover.
I loved it.
I was willing to come in with a very open mind of their performance, given what they had gone through the past 2.5 weeks, but they look half decent. And obviously a lot of it was due to Holtby, you know, standing on his head. Obviously getting COVID for him means turning into the next Dominic Hasek. Like, he was making some crazy acrobatic saves out there. Yeah. But, you know, I'm interested to see the next few games, how they look, because I can honestly see, you know, a lot of their performance tonight was adrenaline. Like, this is the first game in 3 weeks. You mentioned it earlier. These are hyper competitive athletes. They want to go out, they want to perform, they want to prove the world wrong.
Yeah.
And how many times have we seen it in sports, all different sports, time and time again, when you are back up against the wall, being that pressure, being back up against the wall, us against the world, is one of the best motivational tools out there. And they use that to their full advantage tonight.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how they play the rest of the season. Cause again,
yeah,
I can see them falling flat on their face next game against the Leafs, which is, I believe, Tuesday, just cause they're not going to have the same adrenaline rush, sorry, that they had tonight.
No, 100%. If you look at this game going into the third period, they're being outplayed by a lot, and something just happened in that third period that really helped the team out. And that Hoglander goal, it wasn't the prettiest.
Is this Leafs loss worse than the David Ayers loss?
No way.
Or is that still number one? No, I think that's still number one.
That's still number one, man. That's still number one.
Losing to a literal Zamboni driver. Exactly. That'll never be topped.
The Leafs still got a point in this. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't the worst performance by them. And it was just that Holtby save. I mean, that save was the turning point. Look, that was a ridiculous save, bro.
Look, the betting markets, I was checking out. I'm a gambler. It's free money. Go check it out. All right. I'm going to check out the betting markets before this game. And the Leafs before this game were -360 something.
What does that mean?
Favorites on the money line, which means it's an implied probability of about 75%. That's how big of a favorite they were heading into this game. So you lay down $10, you might get $4 back. Like, that's how big of a favorites they were. Wow. It's a big upset for the Vancouver Canucks, and I think it'll go down as the best win of the season so far. And the Leafs power play, my God, like, do they suck? Like, we complain about the power play and the special teams in Vancouver. The Leafs have so much more like forward talent, and that's what their power play looks like. Like, they should have scored at least 2 goals on that five minute major from Alex Edler, which we could get into now if you want, and the whole Alex Edler on Zach Hyman situation.
Well, go for it, because I only watched the third period, to be honest. I'm Kyle Bound. And
okay, Alex Edler and his knee-on-knee hit on Zach Hyman. It's a tough situation. Obviously, Edler is at fault, but, you know, the situation where the Canucks were at, you know, these guys are super tired. They're gassed. And when you're gassed like that, and when you're super tired, and when you haven't played in 3 weeks, stuff like this can happen. And it's unfortunate for the Leafs, obviously, because Hyman's a big part of their team. He's kind of the Alex Burrows of that team, in the sense that he's kind of like, you know, that unheralded player who fits perfectly with their stars. But I'm a Leafs hater, so I'm not going to feel too bad for them. Hyman's probably out for a while. Sorry, not sorry. Don't care.
Hey, Nick Bondy, just a mean motherfucker, okay?
I can see Alex Edler getting fined or getting like a 1-game suspension because of that hit.
I could see.
It's a high profile game. It's the Leafs.
Yeah.
The league has to do something.
I could see Alex Edler wanting a 10-game suspension just so he can
give me a rest.
Give me more of a rest. Let me chill at home. It was just a traumatizing time for some of these players. Again, COVID-19, the COVID Canucks. Real talk. And I know that's maybe a bad pun to use, but realistically speaking, the whole team had COVID. So again, this is why Bondi's saying this.
The COVID Canucks. I like it. I also like to call them, I was telling us in the group chat, I was in Days of Our Canucks. Because it's like all the drama that's gone on with this team this season.
So the
Canucks might have the most drama from any NHL team this season.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
Probably, right? And like, it's been ridiculous, the storylines that have come out of this.
And it goes back to, you know, what's going to happen in the future with this team over the next couple weeks, the next couple games. Nobody's going to get fucking pissed off at the on-ice performance. Real talk. Nobody is. And a lot of people are just going to save that angst to analyze even more what's going on at the top of this organization. Because Elliot Friedman said a lot of things over the weekend too. And now I'm kind of getting the hunch that, yo, Jim Benning actually may be gone. Which, yeah, in my opinion, I know you should never be celebrating somebody getting fired, but something has to change with this team, because if the same people are at the top, I swear to you, 2022 is not going to look any better for this organization. It really isn't.
Look, we can say right now, change, you know, the change has to come, change is imminent. But how many times have we said that over the past,
I know,
however many years? So we've said it on this network before. Jim Benning is like a cockroach after a nuclear apocalypse. Wow. He will find a way. He will find a way to survive. That's just his, how he's been at the Vancouver Canucks for the past few seasons, right? And
I know.
Think he's pretty close. I remember reading this somewhere. I think it was Alex Blair on Power Towel was telling me this, that he's on track to be the longest serving GM of the Vancouver Canucks history, more than Pat Quinn, more than Mike Gillis. It's shocking when you hear something like that, but yeah, he's on pace to be, you know, the longest serving GM in Canucks history. And I think, you know, I can foresee a situation where Jim Benning becomes the quote unquote sacrificial lamb to, you know, appease everyone, mm-hmm, in the offseason. Because if you listen to those Elliot Friedman comments on, I'm assuming you're talking about his comments, yeah, on Saturday headlines,
yeah,
on Hockey Night in Canada. That's some damning stuff. Like, that's, that is, damn, you know, players are pissed off, and something has to change. Something does have to change.
Yo, Bondi, exactly. It's not the fucking media. It's not the fans. It's now the players. And
it's now the players who have turned on Jim Benning, and that could change everything.
So look what happened over the last 10 to 12 months with this team, right? They do their thing in the bubble playoffs. So what? So what? It seemed like a mirage. It really did. It really did. And then you see who leaves the team. And as fans and as media members, we kind of get it, because cap hell, blah, blah, blah. You got to move on, blah, blah, blah. But for the team, for the players, the people who are actually doing the business, that kind of hurt them. Moral-wise, like, that hurt them. And then you see what happens here with what happened with COVID-19 and the Vancouver Canucks and the lack of support from Jim Benning.
It's communication again, man. Like, how many times have we talked about the communication issues that this management team, mm-hmm, has with its players? Like, it's the same story with Troy Stetcher, Tyler Toffoli. Jim Benning never really got back to them. He never really.
One of the worst communicators in the world of sports is Jim Benning, honestly speaking.
And it's pretty clear that's, you know, the big issue with the team with this COVID outbreak, is they were not kept in the loop. And I think that's you know, the phrase Elliot Friedman said, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, or one of the insiders said, like, the Canucks didn't feel they were kept in the loop.
That's sad.
And that's a big issue. And that's a big issue.
That is sad. We're talking about a National Hockey League team that plays in fucking Vancouver, in Canada. That is sad. That is pathetic. And again, I think what Elliot Friedman said this Saturday, it gave me the hunch that it's possible for Jim Benning not to come back next season, which, but, again, that's a great thing for this team and the future of this team. And it sounds fucking harsh to say, but look at the stats and now look at what's happened with a serious issue. You cannot have that at the top of your organization. That is cancerous, and that cannot happen to a team in Canada. Real talk. That's yeah, not fair to the people in Vancouver. So there's a lot to talk about always with this team, and change has to happen. It really does.
But don't underestimate the cheapness of Francesco Aquilini, man, and Aquilini's during this time. I feel like I've said this on this podcast before. The short-term future of the Vancouver Canucks is entirely determined on when they can start selling tickets.
Okay.
For games at Rogers Arena again.
You're bringing
Once
up
that
the
happens,
tickets,
you're going to see a few more changes.
You're bringing up the ticket thing, right? Okay. Obviously, the Canucks went through a lot this year, and it may mask the reality of this team, but yo, this is a fucking smart-ass fan base. If it's the same people at the top and pretty much the same team, yo, are people going to sell out Rogers Arena? Are people going to do that?
Question.
Even
That's
if they've missed hockey,
you know,
for almost 20
Francesco
months?
I think Francesco Aquilini has to ask,
exactly,
himself at this point.
It won't happen. It won't happen. People are frustrated. People are frustrated. And look at the city that we live in. Look at behind me, right? Shout out to Don't Doze. Look at the city that we live in. It's a beautiful place. If the hockey team is trash, it's not like trash out of nowhere. If the hockey team is trash next season, what would that be? That'd be like, what, year 8? It's a lot of time. That's a lot of life for people, okay? A lot of life. They're not going to want to come to the games, okay? They're not going to want to come to the games. It will happen. It will happen. I know it. It's gross. It really is gross. I saw somebody compare the Vancouver Canucks over the past week to the Ottawa Senators. And that's not because of just the on-ice product. It's because of the bullshit at the top. And that's gross. It's disgusting.
That's not good company to keep.
It's bad. It's bad. Now, Bondi and I, at the top of this conversation, I think we got to end it with this. Again, the people of Vancouver, the city of Vancouver, let's grow those beards. Let's do it till the end of the season. Win or lose, let's grow those beards. Solidarity, right? For the brothers on the ice. I'm down. Nux Misconduct doing it. I'm down. I already got
some nice, nice and thick right now.
I can go another month easy. I'm going to do my best. Why not, right? Why not? The ladies love the beard, right? Come on, man. Why not do it? I'm excited to not just grow this beard, but just to see change with this team. And Elliot Friedman, again, for the third time, he gave me some hope. Can we give a round of applause to Elliot Friedman, one of the more notorious dudes that talk about Vancouver? Let's be honest. Let's be real. He gave us some hope. I guess I'll actually end it on this note. We haven't talked in a while. How's it going, Bonnie? How's life?
Life's pretty good right now, man. Like, it's been nice weather. Been spending some time outside. Been golfing, you know, nice time out in the park with buddies.
There you go, man. Chill.
It's been nice.
I've been chilling outside a lot as well, man, and I'm loving it. Spending less time in the studio, which in most cases I don't really like, but for some reason over the past week, I never wanted to be here. I'd be here for like an hour. It's like, yo, it's time to go outside. It's time to see something.
When you get weather like this in like mid-April, like, you get to take advantage of it.
Exactly. And especially when there's really not much to do in the world. We are fucking definitely blessed that at least we live in British Columbia. Real talk. You can go anywhere in this damn province, 30 minutes east, west, north, or south, you're going to find something to look at. Real talk. That's how nice this place is. Bondi, thanks for your time, man.
No problem, man. Always happy to do it.
Cool. You're listening to Sippin' on a 40. Hope you had fun listening to that conversation. Go leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Give us a 3 if you thought it was mediocre. Give us a 5 if you had a good time. Give us a 1 if we sucked ass. Okay? Give us an honest review on Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to the podcast and the network wherever you listen to those podcasts. My name, Kyle Bowen, KyleBhawan. A big reason why we couldn't give you a special episode today, it's because I got to talk about books. Yes, What the Fuck You're Reading on TikTok. The man, a.k.a. V, he's in the studio, and that means we got to get to work, okay? This guy does not want me talking about a fifth place, sixth place hockey team, okay? He doesn't. We got to talk about those books. Hey, the Vancouver Canucks, they made the city proud today. Grow those beards. Have a good morning, a good afternoon, a good night. We don't know when you're listening to this, but we appreciate it. Peace.